This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All right, inshallah, let's go ahead and get started. Apologies for the delay. Okay. All righty. Bismillah walhamdulillah. الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. How's everyone doing? Alhamdulillah. Hopefully everyone's doing okay, inshallah. Everyone's gearing up for the end of the year. Alhamdulillah. We are getting very close to finishing our series. So my plan for Soul Food is after we're done with our series, The Journey to Allah, we are going to spend a good few weeks leading up to Ramadan doing a series about readiness for Ramadan, inshallah. So it's like perfect timing. I think we're going to, inshallah, finish The Journey to Allah in the next few weeks. And so once we come back in January for the new year, we're going to kick off with a lot of topics that are related to the preparation that one undergoes for the month of Ramadan, inshallah. So that'll be really exciting. It'll help us really get to Ramadan all the way. And then once we're in Ramadan, we obviously have a lot of special programming available. So let's go ahead and begin. First and foremost, I know everyone's hearts are extremely heavy this week. I mean, as has been for the past 2.5 months at this point, ever since October 7th. The situation in Palestine has only gotten more intense and more severe. And so, you know, how many of y'all follow Mu'taz Azeza, right? MashaAllah, may Allah preserve him. He has been putting out so much just evidence of what's going on over there. And unfortunately, you know, when we see these things happening and unfolding in front of our eyes, we are left in horror watching these things. But I want you guys to actually think about it from just one more perspective. And that perspective is that, yes, for us, it's extremely difficult to see. For the martyrs, for the shuhada, it is basically proof for their shaheed, right? It's proof for their martyrdom. And for the people who are doing this to them, it's evidence against them. So whenever you're thinking about these things and you're watching these moments, I want you to think that, you know, subhanAllah, Brother Mu'taz and all these other people, these photographers, these media people in Palestine right now, they're literally doing the job of angels, right? They're taking down evidences and proofs of actions of what those who are evil are doing. And so, subhanAllah, like, you know, they're just building up a really strong case against themselves. The people that are harming the Ghazan people. So a lot of different ways to break that down and look at it. But inshallah, it all ends with the people of Gaza being freed from the occupation, inshallah. All right, let's continue on with our discussion. Tonight, we have a really exciting discussion. Tonight's discussion is going to involve a little bit of kind of back and forth, inshallah, at certain times. Tonight's discussion, Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he breaks down 7 types of people, right? 6 really, but like he kind of intros it with the first one. So 7 types of people or 7 kinds of actions that he says, and you can see it in the title, that will be seemed like scattered dust on the day of judgment. Now, what does that mean, right? What does scattered dust mean on the day of judgment? It means it is something that will easily be, you know, brushed away, or it'll be flown away easily. And why is that? We'll learn, inshallah, through our session today about deeds that are not going to have any weight to them on the day of judgment and how we can avoid being those types of people. Because in the dunya, you have a lot of opportunities to do actions, right? You have opportunities to do deeds, both good and bad. And the bad deeds are bad deeds, and we know what those are. But there are sometimes evil deeds that are masked with the facade of good deeds, right? That certain people are doing things that are seemingly good, but in reality, they're actually not that way. And because of that, it'll be exposed on the day of judgment. So inshallah, we'll bring up some examples of that today. So he begins, he says, these types of actions are actions that will be scattered like dust on the day of judgment. The first of which comprising something more general than previously mentioned, and that is having deeds from which he hopes good, but they end up scattered dust and altered to evil deeds. And Allah, he mentions in this particular ayah in the Quran, he says, as for those who disbelieve, the people who do deeds but they don't have any belief system behind them, those deeds are deeds that are like mirages in the desert. Okay, anybody here seen a mirage before? A mirage is what? In the summertime in Dallas, you see them all the time. When you're driving on the highway or on the road, you see on a very hot day, it seems like there's almost like a glass, like a thing of water, right? There's like a pool of water in the distance. And it ends up just being almost like an optical illusion from nature that the heat is so intense, the sun's rays are so intense that it almost reflects off of the ground from a distance. And as you get closer and closer to it, now you realize that it's really not water at all. And the reason why Allah included this in His Quran is because in the Quran, Allah is He's addressing people who in that time in Mecca and Medina used to live in very desert-like conditions. And so in the desert, people who used to travel, they would see like a mirage from a distance. They would all get all hyped up and excited, right? We've been traveling for days, possibly a week. All of a sudden in the distance, I see what looks like a pond or what looks like a puddle of water or a water source. And I want to go to it. I want to run to it. I want to get close to it. And as soon as they get really close to it, they find out that it was just an optical illusion, that it is nothing but more dirt and sand right in front of them. And so Allah, He says in the Quran, He says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, for the people who disbelieve, their deeds are like mirages in the desert. From far away, it seems like something. There seems to be substance there. And this is one of the greatest kind of analogies in the Quran, because when you think about the example of the mirage, everything from afar looks beautiful, right? I mean, how many people, think about this, guys, how many of us have seen people from afar, or we have seen people's deeds from afar and we were really impressed by them, right? A person's far away, mashallah, that brother is like, his Quran is amazing, right? Oh, look at that person, like that person's prayer is so solid. Oh, look at the person, look how they treat their siblings. Like, it's amazing from afar. And the closer and closer and closer you come to that actual person, you realize what was seen from afar is not at all what the truth is when you come close. And this is why that famous narration from Ummi Ma'bad, right? The woman that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came across on his hijrah, on the way to Medina. What was one of the descriptions that Ummi Ma'bad had of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Anyone remember? She said something very special about his appearance. Anybody know? She said that he was striking from afar. Meaning like physically, appearance-wise, he was beautiful from afar. And she said he was even more beautiful close up. This is why the Prophet ﷺ is so special. Because he like defies what like the norm is for human beings. The norm is that from a distance, a lot of things look really cool. I want you guys to think about something in your life that you thought was really, really cool and beautiful from a far distance. And you got super close to it and you realize it's not much, right? It's like all like the lakes in Dallas, right? You're like from, oh my God, mashallah, we almost have like a beach. And you get close to it and you look at the rocks and you're like, oh man, we're back in Dallas, right? No, I'm just kidding. And so like, you know, sometimes things from afar look really amazing. But when you get close to it, they're not the same anymore. So Allah, He mentions that. And then He says, the ones who are dying of thirst, the ones who are will do anything for water, think it to be water until he comes to it and finds that it's not that at all. And he finds in its place Allah who will pay him his due, and Allah is very swift with his reckoning. Okay, Wallahu sari'ul hisab. And he goes on and he says something else. He gives you another example of what these deeds are like, that when you do deeds frivolously and you have no thought behind them, he says, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَىٰ مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. He says, and we will turn the work they did and scatter it like dust. We'll scatter it. It's going to be scattered like the dust in the desert, right? And this is the reality of again, people who want to put on a show, but then in reality, in substance, there's not really much there, okay? And this is what, you know, there's a famous statement here from a scholar by the name of Al-Fudayl. He says, concerning this verse, that they work deeds thinking them to be good when in reality they were evil. Now, the question is, like, what's evil, right? Like, what about a person who prays? What about a person who fasts? What about a person who does things that are obviously religious? How are those things evil? Are they inherently evil? No, absolutely not. What he's saying here is that a person who does deeds, right, who does deeds and they claim them to be for Allah, but it ends up that they're actually not for Allah, is even of a higher gravity of sin. Why? Because you're claiming it to be for Allah. It's a whole different conversation if a person says, well, you know, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, or I'm going to try to get this job because I want to help my family out, right? But at the end of the day, they're really not doing it for their family. They're just doing it for their own vanity. That's different. But now when you involve Allah in it, a person fasts so that people can be like, oh, mashallah, Mondays and Thursdays, such a pious man, right? When you bring Allah into it, there's another degree of seriousness that you introduce to the situation. So this is why, by the way, and wallahi, I'll tell you something scary. In our day and age, in our modern time that we are in 2023/2024, we are in a serious threat of this, by the way. Because we are at this era now where being religious is almost looked at as almost, it's like a deep thing now, right? Like 20 years ago, it wasn't that big of a deal. 20 years ago, nobody would want to be known to be like a religious person. Because 20 years ago, religion was like this like backwards thing. And now we've kind of like hit this renaissance of religion where people are now like these pseudo-religious people. And now everyone's like posting like their TikToks at midnight, reading Quran, trying to impress people, getting likes. People are like sharing like super deep like reflections on Instagram and whatnot and doing this and that. And everyone's like, oh yeah, man, like I'm doing this for the sake of Allah. But now what you're endangering yourself with is something that was never a possibility back in the day, which is just showing off to people. And we'll talk about that, inshallah, a little bit more. So the second deed or the second action that is in danger of being scattered like dust, he says, is when a servant commits an evil, deed to which he pays no regard, thinking of it as insignificant. And what this means is basically, you'll come to a time where people who will have their deeds scattered like dust on the Day of Judgment will be the people who used to like belittle what wrong they used to do in this dunya. And these are the people who would never take their sin seriously. They would try to just kind of brush them off. Like, yeah, it's not that big of a deal, man. Like, everybody does this stuff. Yeah, it's not that big of a deal, man. Like, delaying salah is not that bad. Oh, or like, you know, like backbiting is not that bad, you know, or like, yeah, it's like not that deep. It's not that bad. This is the type of vibe that Ibn Rajab is trying to kind of share with us here, that people who try to belittle the sins that they commit. And I want to share something with everybody here because this is a very famous statement from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. He says that a believer sees his sins as if he is sitting at the foot of a mountain fearing that will fall upon him. That's the way that a believer sees their sins. That when a believer commits a sin or makes a mistake, they don't just brush it off as though it was nothing. They don't brush it off as though it was no big deal. When a believer, a true Muslim, sees their sins, they look at it as though it's like a mountain that's about to collapse in on them. And he says, while the sinner, the word fajr, the fajr, the one who sins, is a person who, when they sin, it's as though they're just trying to like wave or swat away flies from their face. Almost like making it seem like not that big of a deal. Oh, I can just swat that one away. If another one comes, I'll just swat that one away as well. And so the approach of a believer when it comes to committing mistakes is not trivializing those mistakes. Because a believer is not afraid necessarily about what that sin will make them look like. They're more concerned about what they look like to Allah. If you want to think about it, people who belittle their sins are usually people who are too worried about the eyes of the people watching them. Like, oh, if this person catches me doing X, Y, and Z, what are they going to think of me? If that person sees me doing X, Y, Z, what are they going to think of me? But a person who's more concerned about what Allah thinks about them, They're not worried about like just like swatting it away real quick so nobody sees it. They're actually concerned more like, oh my gosh, like this is going to weigh heavily upon me. I mean, how many of us, subhanAllah, I want you guys to, and this is a really relevant kind of exercise here. How many people in here have ever done something in their life where maybe people didn't know about it, but it really made it going to sleep at night really hard? Like, it made it difficult to go to sleep at night because you know you did something wrong. It may not have been caught on Instagram, or like, it may not be the talk of like the town, or, you know, people, your friend circle may not know about it. But because you know that what you did was wrong, you're up thinking about it all night. This is one of the characteristics of a believer. This is a characteristic of a mu'min, that they forget about if people know about it. They care more if Allah, they know that Allah Ta'ala is aware of it. Because there are some people who, man, you know, they're more worried about what people think versus what Allah thinks, right? They're more worried about their perception of humanity versus their perception of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, right? And so here, and this is compiled in Bukhari, he says that the believer, the reason of this fear that a believer has, that, you know, a sin is like a mountain, is that the heart of a believer is illuminated. I want you guys to physically think about that. The heart of a believer is illuminated. It has light coming from it. And whenever a person has a qalb that is nurun, it has nur in it, it will begin to notice whenever a little bit of that light goes away from them. Y'all ever walked around with like your flashlight on or something like that? Or like a flashlight, you know, like a battery's going out in your flashlight? You notice right away, right? You're in a dark room or in a dark, you know, area, and your flashlight starts to kind of like diminish a little bit in power. The moment that it starts doing that, you start, you know, like now, like you start like banging it. You're trying to make sure the battery works. Because a person who's used to seeing that light, a moment where that light goes dimmer, it's like, what's going on here, right? Like, why can't I see properly? So for a believer, he says that their heart is illuminated. So when he or she sees themselves, from themselves, something that goes against what they what he illuminates his heart with, it's very distressing for them. That if they see any sort of like darkening of the light that they have, they get a little concerned, right? Prayer, oh, I missed my Fajr prayer. It's a big deal for me. I was ill-mannered with my mother before I left the house this morning. That bothers me. It was on my mind. Usually, it's people who are, as described in the statement of Ibn Mas'ud, fajir, that really just like dust off their sins like it's nothing to them. They could care less that they left the house earlier that day and they said something extremely rude to their father. They could care less that, you know, there was a person in the masjid earlier that week and they were rude to them. They could care less that they were in a group of friends that were all backbiting and they just kind of like added in a bunch of their own stuff and they just moved on with their lives like nothing happened. Those are people who Ibn Mas'ud, he describes as fajr, because those people don't care. They're people of heedlessness. They could care less if they did something wrong. And you know, another telltale sign of a person who's guilty of this is a person who, if they're confronted, they get super defensive about it, right? Like, you go up to that person and you say, hey, assalamu alaikum, you know, I noticed that it seemed like you were a little rude to that person back there. Like, are you having a bad day? Or like, is everything okay? Me? Nah, man, I'm not rude. What are you talking about? You're rude, right? You turn it back on them. You're rude right now, right? Like, super defensive. And this is such a shaitani trait. Because when shaitan was told to bow down to Adam alayhi salam out of respect, shaitan, he denied that order. He said, no, I'm not doing it because you made me from fire and you made him from clay. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارُ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينَ. And then when Allah said that paradise is a place for people who obey Allah, shaitan then turned on Allah and said, because you made me like this. Can you imagine the arrogance? Imagine the arrogance. Imagine a person who, subhanAllah, like they get caught doing something wrong, and when they get confronted by somebody about what they did that was wrong, they then blame the person who's confronting them. Like, oh, like if you're the one that made me do that. You're the one that made me act like that. Why did you say that first thing that made me say what I said? You think I like being like that? It's like what Israel is doing every day. No, I'm not kidding, actually. I'm being very serious. It's like gaslighting 101. Literally, subhanAllah, if you want to know, like, literally, you want to know the meaning of this statement, go look on the news. Go look on the news. I was thinking, like, so I was watching this, like, bakhwas garbage man from, like, the IDF or something like that, like, this past week, and he was like, oh, yeah, like, if Hamas has stopped, like, using, you know, the children as human shields, I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That's what you're trying to say right now? SubhanAllah, man, like, it's so interesting to see the evil that is playing out in the world, and you see, subhanAllah, how relevant the Qur'an becomes. You know all these people that are now reading, like, Qur'an at TikTok at, like, 1 a.m.? Like, they're doing it because they're seeking some sort of answer. This world is, like, chaotic. They don't understand anything anymore. How can such evil take place in this dunya? And you open up the Qur'an, you're like, oh, wait a second. Allah talked about this. Allah told the Prophet ﷺ about this 1,500 years ago, right? So, he says here that people who, they disregard their sins, thinking of it as insignificant, and that sin will cause this person to be punished. And Allah says, وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. He says, you counted it as something light, but وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. But to Allah, it was extremely, extremely magnified. Like, imagine, like, subhanAllah, and this is why, and we'll talk about this, there's another one that actually talks about it later in this chapter, but think about, like, somebody who you were, like, extremely rude to, and you didn't even think it was that rude. On the Day of Judgment, that person will be brought in front of you, and Allah will say, now you tell me why you were rude to this person. And on the Day of Judgment, we'll be like, oh, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I thought it was, I didn't think it was that bad. What did I say? Why'd he get so offended, right? Why'd she get so offended? And you have no idea the effect that your words had on this person. You have no idea the effect that your deeds had on this person. It may have ruined their day. It may have ruined their week. The example that I think about when I think about this particular point is the idea of backbiting. To the backbiter, it's no big deal. You're just basically casting another piece of firewood in the fire, right? Like, it's no big deal to you, but you could be ruining somebody's life. You could be wrecking that person's life. The rumor that you spread about that person could hinder them from getting a job. The rumor that you spread about that person could hinder them from getting married one day. The rumor that you spread about that person could really, you know, hinder them from becoming good friends with a lot of people who are beautiful people. So the person who's doing the backbiting, the person who's doing the slandering, they get to go home that night and sleep easy. But the person who was backbitten, oh, they're suffering for years and years in their life. And in this dunya, the person who did the backbiting will never really get, like, caught. Because again, that's the way that backbiting works, right? Like, oh, I just heard from another person who said that. Oh, I just got caught up. Oh, this person just said that, so I just kind of, like, followed along with it. And so when that happens, it gets lost in translation. But to the person who's being backbitten, oh, they're living a miserable life. They're living a life of misery. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. And this is why, you know, one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, you are doing deeds. And by the way, this statement was said from a companion to a tabi'i. So like a child of a, you know, another companion. So like this was like a generation removed from the Prophet ﷺ. And again, like, you know, when people were with the Prophet ﷺ, they used to treat their life so seriously, right? I want you guys to think about, you know, like, and this is a great example. Y'all know, like, sunnah prayer, right? Two rak'ah after Maghrib, you know, two rak'ah after Isha, right? Two rak'ah before Fajr. All these prayers that were like, oh yeah, like, if you have time, you can, and if you really don't, like, it's not that big of a deal. I want you guys to think what sunnah was like during the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Like, they used to see the Prophet ﷺ praying sunnah in front of them. I can guarantee you some of the Sahaba probably were like, oh yeah, this joint is like fard for me. Like, and nowadays in our lives, we're like, oh yeah, it's just sunnah. Like, if you get to it, you get to it. If you don't, you don't. So the companions would talk about the Prophet. They would say, you are doing deeds, the next generation that never saw the Prophet ﷺ. Y'all are doing deeds that are in your eyes more insignificant than a hair, like a strand of hair. Doesn't seem like a big deal. But at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, we would consider them to be destructive sins. Like, we would never ever do those things. We would never delay something. We would never delay something like prayer. We would never deny giving sadaqah. We would never do. We would never delay doing something good. Okay, so that's number two. Then number three, he says, worse than the previous case, one to whom the evil of his conduct seems pleasing. Now this is like terrifying, and any normal human being would ask the question, who on earth would find joy in doing evil deeds, right? Who on earth would enjoy doing evil deeds? But look around you. Are there not people who actually think that like their evil is something that they seek like fuel from? Look at these people. Look at these people in you know, Israel that are doing what they're doing to the Palestinian people. They are just pressing buttons and going to sleep and just khalas. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, like, you take joy from doing things that are known to be bad. Not only that, like, you make light of it. And you think this is, like, all fun and games. You think that, like, it's not that big of a deal. And this is why Allah says, he says, should we inform you who will be the greatest losers? The people who will be the greatest losers? أخصارين الأعمال. Of their works, he says, "الَّذِينَ ظَلَّ," the people whose efforts are astray, الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ. He says, "يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا." He says, those whose efforts go astray in the life of the world, and yet they reckon that they do good work. People who are doing evil, but they think that they're doing good things. Man, I didn't plan this like for today, but think about it. Literally, oh yeah, like we're killing like terrorists. That's what we're doing. Oh yeah, yeah, we're getting rid of like bad guys, right? Oh, we're the ones who are victims. We're doing God's work right here. Yeah, what about Reem? The little kid, the little daughter, the little granddaughter who's grandfather was holding her. What about all the 10,000 children that you killed? That's God's work. A'udhu billah. And these people are so delusional that they think what they're doing is good. They think what they're doing is good. And you will have people still, and I was reading a comment today on Instagram, a person who's like, I have never seen the entire world come together for a cause, yet the people who are in charge are still in denial of the evil that they're doing. It's insane. It's insanity. It's majnoon, right? They think that what they're doing is good. Oh yeah, like we're fighting anti-Semitism. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what we're doing. By what? Killing a child? You know, I heard, subhanAllah, man, this is so sad to talk about. I was listening to a clip today from a rabbi who was preaching overseas, and he was saying that the kids aren't innocent because if the kids grow up, they're going to come after us if we allow them to get to adult age. Astaghfirullah, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. This is why you thank Allah every day that you're Muslim. Islam does not give us room to think like that. Islam does not permit thoughts like that. That these are people who, subhanAllah, over and over again, they justify the evil that they do. I mean, you think about like the people who used to harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You think about the people who used to throw garbage at his feet. People who used to pelt stones at his body. What did they think that they were doing? I want you guys to think about that. Wouldn't you like to talk to those people and ask them like, what were you thinking? This person just came to you and told you, La ilaha illallah. Why did you pick up stones and throw them at him? Like, what was your thought process? And I can guarantee you, half the people would be like, yeah, man, like, we just didn't like him. Because is there a logical reason? Like, you almost have to be crazy to make logic out of it. If you see what's happening in Palestine right now, and anyone in here who may know or have heard of people that are defending the other side, they're like, when they speak, it's almost like it's insanity. You're watching those videos and your blood starts to like boil.
How can you possibly believe that? How can you possibly believe the filth that you're spewing right now? I'll tell you something. When a person engages in so much evil, truth and falsehood, haq and batil, becomes very, very confusing for them. What's true and what's false becomes very confusing. As Muslims, the blessing of believing and practicing your belief, one of the blessings of it is to know what good and evil truly are. That when you see evil, you know it right when you see it. When you see good, you know good right when you see it. And you know what's really interesting? The people of the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the people who ended up becoming Muslim, there's always one very key component that kind of united all of their narrations. That when they saw the Prophet ﷺ, they would always say about him, he doesn't look like a bad person to me. They knew what truth was when they saw it. There's a famous hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that when he went into Medina, that the first things that he told people was afshu salam, wa at'imu ta'am, wa silu al-arham, right? And pray, wa sallu al-layla wa nasu niyam, and pray in the evening while others sleep. The same man who actually narrated that hadith, he wasn't a Muslim. Y'all know that, right? At the time of that hadith, he was not a Muslim. He saw the Prophet ﷺ from a far distance entering Medina, and he said, this is what I heard him say. And you know what he said before he actually he stated what the Prophet's advice was? He said, I didn't see his face as a person of the face of a person who would be a liar. So he knew truth when he saw it. But again, the sad part of the dunya is that once a person perpetuates evil so much, they forget what truth is and they think they confuse truth for falsehood and they confuse falsehood for truth. And this is what you see right now. You're seeing evil happening right in front of our eyes and people are arguing as though they're in the right. And any person who is upon the truth, they're like, this is madness, this is insanity, right? We ask Allah to protect us. And so now we go on to the fourth. The fourth says here, Sufyan al-Thawri, he mentions, would say upon hearing this verse, woe to the people of Ar-Riya, woe to the people of ostentation. He says this can be seen in the hadith about the three who would be the first to be hurtled into Jahannam, the scholar, the one who gave charity, and the mujahid, the person who was a martyr. Let's look at this hadith really quickly, inshallah. It's right here. It was narrated in Sahih Muslim. It says that Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, he mentions that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, the first man whose case will be decided on the day of judgment will be a man who died as a martyr. A person who died as a martyr. He will be brought in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah will recount his blessings which he bestowed upon him. And he will acknowledge them. And Allah will ask this person, what did you do with them? And this person will say, oh Allah, I fought for your sake and I died as a martyr. I defended your deen, ya Allah, and I died as a shaheed. And Allah will say, "Bal, actually, you're lying. You're lying because you did this so that you may be called brave. Or you were called so-and-so, kada wa kada." And then a command will be given and he will be dragged into hell. And then the next person will be a person who acquired knowledge. And they recited and taught the Quran, right? This is like people, right? SubhanAllah, Instagram, Quran, Qurra, right? They're like on Instagram Live, beautiful voices, mashallah. They got thousands of followers. This is, by the way, man, I'm kind of like trying to be light about this, but this is serious. Like Allah protect us from ever using Islam as a means of us showing off to people. Everyone say Ameen. He says the second person will be a person who used to teach the Quran and recite it beautifully. He will be brought forth and Allah will again recount this person's blessings. And he will say, what did you do with these blessings? And this person will say, ya Allah, I acquired ilm, knowledge, and I disseminated it. I taught it. And I recited the Quran so that other people could hear it. Ya Allah, I was just trying to teach people your words, ya Allah. And Allah will say, rather, you are lying. you acquired this knowledge so that you could be called an alim, a qari, a sheikh, an ustadh, an imam, a sheikha. You did this so you could be called so and so. And because of that, he'll be given the command of being dragged into hell. And then finally, the last person will be brought forth in front of Allah of every kind of wealth he will have. And Allah will recount all of his blessings. And he will acknowledge them. And Allah will say, what did you do with all these blessings I gave you? And he will say, Ya Allah, I spent every bit of money you gave me for your cause, Ya Allah. And I only spent it for the sake of you. And Allah will say, rather, you are lying. You did so that you may be called generous. So that you may be called pious and, you know, kind and merciful. And because of this, you'll be given Jahannam. And I want everyone to think about the one unifying factor of all three of these stories. Exactly. All three of these stories have a lot to do with not only intention, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ وَإِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. Your intention and also the follow-through of your actions. Because your intention's in the beginning, but your follow-through till the end of your life is also important. A person can say, yeah, alhamdulillah, you know, I'm gonna intend to do this for the sake of Allah. And halfway through their deed, they're like, oh man, I'm kind of liking what people are saying about me. I'm liking this. They're calling me like a Roots community member, right? Like, oh wow, did you see? Like, I was on that Roots Instagram reel the other day. You know, I'm like, screenshot that thing real quick and send to everybody you know. I mean, so like, no. We never want to be people like that. I mean, these are things that happen by chance. These are just things that happen by chance. Like, it could have not been you. It could have been like that pin, that picture in the wall over there. It was just because of the qadr of Allah that it happened so that it happened. But when a person makes what happened now become their new intention, that's when it becomes dangerous. That's when a person, they began their life by saying, yeah, I like giving charity because, you know, I want to give from what Allah has given me. But there will inevitably be a time where shaitan will sometimes introduce a small little bit of, it seems to me that people are liking that you're so generous. You should give more. And that person will be like, yeah, I want to give more now. I want to give more. It seems like people are enjoying that I'm giving. And shaitan will say, yeah. People are calling you generous. Hey, by the way, they want to interview you on Instagram. They want to interview you on YouTube. You want to go and do that little quick interview real quick? Yeah, alhamdulillah, right? All for the sake of Allah. And that person will grow a liking of this attention more and more and more and more until they, if they looked in the mirror spiritually, they would not be able to recognize themselves anymore. They began as a person who used to recite Quran to like one kid. Y'all know that Quran teacher that teaches one kid can't even recite properly, right? It's like 7 years old. All of a sudden, his recitation is so beautiful. Now it has millions of viewers on YouTube. And this person, a'udhu billah, no longer enjoys the Quran anymore for what it is. He only sees the Quran as a mechanism to get more viewership. May Allah protect us from riya, from showing off. All right, let's move on to the last couple of them, inshallah. The fifth one, he says, the one who has worked righteous deeds, but has also wronged others, and he thinks that his deeds will save him. Oh, ya Allah, protect us. Man, this is a really scary one. Because this one, he says, so there confronts him that which he was not expecting. All of his deeds are appointed amongst those who he wronged. Then some wrong remains to be requited or like kind of like paid back for. And so their evil deeds are piled onto his, and a result, he is hurled into the fire. Now, this comes from a very famous hadith, by the way. This statement comes from a hadith. It comes from a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ, he spoke to his companions and he said, oh, my companions, my sahaba, do you know a person who's like bankrupt? And all of them started to answer the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, it's a person who doesn't even have like one dirham or like one dinar or like they don't have anything. And he said, no, the person who's bankrupt is a person who did good deeds his entire life, but they used to harm this person. They used to insult that person. They used to abuse that person. And so on the day of judgment, they will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with deeds like the mountains. Like their deeds will be so tall, they'd be like mountains in front of that person. And slowly but surely, Allah will bring every single person that they harmed in the dunya, and they will say, take from his good deeds whatever he harmed you. Whatever, how much he harmed you, take from his good deeds. And so every single person he harmed will start taking a little bit of his deeds, taking a little bit of his deeds, taking a little bit of his deeds. And all of a sudden, this person harmed people so much that that mountain is now looking like a little meadow, tiny, flat, nothing there. And he'll say, Ya Allah, there's still a line of people that are claiming my deeds. I don't have anything left. And the scariest part is this, Allah will say to the people in line, take your bad deeds and now unload it onto his plate. Take your bad deeds and give it to him now. Rid yourself of your evil deeds from what he harmed you. Subhanallah. So this person came into the Day of Judgment with deeds like good deeds piling up to the mountains, and he left with a mountain's worth of evil. Subhanallah. And this is why we should never ever think. I mean, the entire premise of this book is don't ever lie solely on your deeds to get you to paradise. You need to make istighfar. You need to ask Allah for forgiveness. You need to make tawbah. All these things need to be done. And then the sixth one, he says, his account could be scrutinized, at which it will be asked of him to show how he was grateful for the blessings granted to him. The least blessing would be balanced against his deeds and outweigh them with the remaining blessings yet to be weighed. And so this is why the Prophet ﷺ, he said, whoever's account is scrutinized will be destroyed. Now, check this out. What this means is that one blessing that Allah gave you is far greater than all of the good deeds that you've done in your life. And the proof of that, you want to know the proof of that? The proof of that is that when you think about it, every good deed you've ever done is only from a blessing that Allah gave you so you could do those good deeds. Think about it. All the prayers you've prayed in your life is only possible because Allah gave you a body that's healthy to pray with. Whatever sadaqah you gave in your life, charity you gave in your life, is only because Allah allowed you to have that money to give sadaqah with. The umrah you went on was only possible because Allah allowed you to save that money. Every your good deeds with your mother, think about it. Your good words with your mom, your parents, your family, only possible because Allah gave you a family to do those good to say those good things in the first place. Every blessing that you have, it's directly tied to all your good deeds that you do. It's like a person who goes onto the Day of Judgment and says, Ya Allah, I did it all by myself. And Allah says to you, are you kidding? I gave you a family to be good to. I gave you a job to earn money from. I gave you a forehead so you can bow it down. If it wasn't for those blessings, you wouldn't have the ability to do those good deeds. So that's what he's saying in the sixth point. And this is why, by the way, a famous dua, anybody want to kind of like remember this? A dua, beautiful dua. Allahumma hasibna hisaban yasira. It means, oh Allah, judge us with an easy judgment. Allahumma hasibna hisaban yasira. Oh Allah, give me an easy accounting on the Day of Judgment. It's like almost like tax season, right? Like you don't want Allah to tax you. Like, oh yeah, you're rude to your parents right here. Like, you want Allah to actually, subhanAllah, you know when my teachers taught me something beautiful? You want it to be a situation where Allah opens up your books of deeds and he looks at the first page. And alhamdulillah, you know, you're Muslim, you tried, right? Try to pray as much as you can. You tried to give as much charity as you could. You slipped up, you're a human being. But Allah also sees that you asked Allah for forgiveness extensively in your life. Allah will not look at the rest of your life and close the book and say, فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. What a beautiful, can you imagine? It's like, you know, it's like that thing, like when you go up to your teacher with like an exam and she's like, oh yeah, stand here, I'll grade it in front of you. And all the anxiety of the entire world starts breaking down in front of your eyes, right? You're like, no, it's okay, I'll go back to my desk. No, just stand here. I'm just going to grade it right in front of you. Every time you see that pen move, you're like, oh God, I can't go home today, right? Like, it's like that feeling. But imagine if that teacher looks at your first two questions and they're like, oh yeah, you got that one right. That one right. You got the gist of it. Good. Here's an A. And you're like, wait a second, there's like 60 more questions. I don't need to see the rest of it. You did good. You did good. This is the benefit of Allahumma hasibna hisaban yasira. The last one, and we'll end with this inshallah, is he could have evil deeds that destroy some of his deeds or the deeds of his limbs, save tawheed, as a result of which he will enter the fire. Ibn Majah records a hadith on the authority of Thawban that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, there are people amongst my nation who will come with deeds like mountains, and Allah will render them as scattered dust. This hadith goes on to mention that there are a people who have your skin, meaning like there are people just like you, they speak your language. They spend part of the night in prayer as you do, as so do you. But there are people who, when they are alone, violate the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, you know, and this is, you know, one of the most, this is of the highest level, because we learn also in our religion that a person who tries to hide their sins, there's a blessing in that, right? Like, they're not like public sinners. They're not people who like try to flaunt their mistakes and sinfulness. But at the same time, a person who wants to access that next level of iman, they also function privately the same way they function publicly. Because there is a disease where certain people live almost like this double life. Where out in public, they're like, mashallah. But in private, they're like, a'udhu billah, right? Like, oh God, right? Like, so we never want to become a people who are so comfortable being good. And I say good in quotes, because again, that good is subjective in terms of like in your intention and sincerity. But in private, you're almost unrecognizable. And I want you to think, and this is a good kind of like ending question for everyone to go home and think about. Everybody has public perception. Everybody has the persona that everyone knows them as in public. When you go home to your houses at night and you go to your room and you're finally in private, will you still be recognizable as the person that people knew out in public as you are when you're by your complete self? Are the same things that are haram in public also haram for you in private? Are the same things that are not okay to do in public the same not okay status in your privacy? And when a person is as sincere as they are in public and they translate that sincerity to their privacy, that's when you know that person truly has understood what it means to be a Muslim. Because even when they're by themselves, they know that they're too shy in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do anything that would go against what, you know, something that displeases him. And so these are the seven that Ibn Rajab, he mentions, of people, the deeds of who will be scattered on the day of judgment as though they have no substance. People who think that they're doing good, people who are doing things to show off, people who belittle their sins, people who get enjoyment from their sins, people who are rude to other people and think that their deeds will save them from all the rudeness and the harm that they cause upon others, and people who are good publicly, but in private, they're completely different people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from ever being people who are insincere, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the people who are of ikhlas, people who are of ihsan, people who are of iman, and people who are of true sincerity, true good intentions when it comes to our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our practice. We ask Allah ta'ala to free the people of Palestine. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to end the occupation and the oppression in Gaza. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward all of the people who have been harmed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah ta'ala to reunite all the families who have been split apart in this dunya with the highest levels of Jannah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon the Muslims who are still alive. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to benefit from their iman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to continue to pray and make dua for our ummah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to join them in Jannah one day. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa nashadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakum khairan, everybody. Anybody have any questions? Anything they'd like to ask, inshallah? Yes, in the back.
What was the translation of that hadith you mentioned earlier from the non-Muslim?
Mm-hmm.
What was the translation of
it? Sorry, the one you're talking about, which one again? Oh, yes. So go look it up. It'll be, if you kind of Google it, you'll find it. Just type in hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, advice of spreading peace. Like the Arabic is afshus salam. You'll find the entire statement there, and he will say that basically he saw the prophet from a distance, and the first thing he noticed about him was his face was not the face of a liar. He wasn't even a Muslim when he said that. So it kind of shows you, like, subhanAllah, like, human beings have this innate ability to detect truth when they see it, right? MashaAllah, alhamdulillah. JazakAllah khairan, everybody. We'll see y'all, inshallah, next Thursday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.